welcome. You are here with Dr. Nilda Perez with Business Foresight, creating strategies towards your extraordinary future.
Hello, this is Dr. Nilda Perez and the Business Foresight Show, and today I have with me Dr. Gail Carson. I'm so excited, and you're going to love this interview. So Dr. Carson is the, she has a book, and her book is How to Be an SOB, But she's an author of six books on business. She also has a program and a book called Living Life with Gusto. She's a media instructor. She's been in the media for years, and she's just amazing. So she teaches people how to get on TV and radio. So you know that was very appealing to me. And she has 12 radio shows. She's a fascinating woman. She has 4 shows on women in business, 4 shows on living life regret-free, and 4 on women over 50. So with us today is Dr. Carson. Thank you so much for being here.
It's great being here.
I love. There's so much about you. I have to tell you, we met and it was like instantly, I was so attracted to you. So Dr. Carson, how are you? I'm so excited to have you here with me. And we connected in Clearwater, and I had to interview you. So I have questions for you because, of course, I'm innovative. I'm all about innovation. And you have really, at 79, still have so much hope, still have so much energy, and you do so much. How do you do it?
Well, first of all, you have to love what you do, and I do love what I do. So that's number one, loving what you do. Number two, I take really good care of myself. Yeah. So I work out every day, and I'm very conscious of how I do things, and I think the combination of exercise, loving what you do, being involved in the things that give you excitement, those are things that are important.
Okay, fantastic. So you have been, you do a lot for women over 50.
Yes.
And because most people at 62 are thinking retirement. They're thinking of going into either retirement home or retirement, and never, like the first thing from their mind is to start a new business or to start new things. And here you are still going and reinventing, continuously reinventing. How do you do that and why?
Well, first of all, I think you have to love what you're doing. I never, ever, ever considered retiring, ever. Not from the time I started the business almost 60 years ago. Never, never thought about that. But I think I'm now in my 5th or 6th or 7th reinvention from when I started. So I would say that basically you have to love what you're doing.
Okay. So now you're in media. I think you've been in media. Because it has to come up. Okay. So unfortunately, we don't have the right equipment. Why do you think media is important?
Well, media is important because you want to get your message out there. And in order to get your message out there, you have to get on radio, you have to get on television, you have to get your book out there, you have to get your message out there, you have to do PR. So media is all of that. And if you want people to know who you are, if you want people to come to you, if you want people to get your message, it's media.
Okay, that makes sense. So who if you're going to coach somebody into getting on TV or radio, who are the people that you would steer away and say, no, you're not ready, or this is not for you? Is there a specific person or type of person that you would?
I think everybody can be trained to do media. However, you have to learn to get your message out in 3 minutes or less. That's very important. And you also have to be able to do it in an exciting manner. If you can't get your message out in an exciting manner, don't go on TV.
Okay. So what do you think somebody needs? What should they have in order to be able to go, you know, to be on media? Do you need a book? What should you have?
Well, you can use a book. It could be that you're doing a seminar. It could be you're doing a workshop. It could be that you're even promoting a charity or a message or a cause. The important thing is you have to get get that message out in 3 minutes or less. And the other thing that's very important to know is, does a seventh or eighth grader understand it? If they can understand it, then you're solid. People talk in jargon. They talk above what the public might know or understand. They know it for them because they're part of it. But does a seventh or eighth grader understand it?
Okay, you know, that's been something that I've had to work on for a while now, because I know what I'm talking about. So now the problem is, can the average person understand? Because I want to help the average person. So I'm not trying to help scholars. So as a foresight strategist, how do I break that message down that it's comprehensive? So that's been my struggle. And because it's important, you're right, it's important. If you want the person who you're sending the message to actually get that message.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what is the big thing that stops people from growth or from being on the media? Or what is that one thing that stops them?
The one thing that stops them is fear.
Yes.
They're afraid of the camera. They're afraid of speaking. They're afraid that people will judge them. They're afraid that people won't get their message. And the important thing is, if they believe in something, they're going to say it in a way that other people will believe in it too. Don't worry about, is everything perfect? Just do it. And there's so many ways now for you to see yourself on camera and practice.
That's true. That's true. Okay. That's awesome, right? So when you're working with somebody and you're teaching them about media, and you're teaching them how to get on TV, do you have an actual program or steps that you bring them through?
Absolutely. I have a whole training program on the media. We show you how to work with props. We show you what to wear. We do your whole image. We do everything. And the most important thing is telling you how to get the interviews on TV. Because you could be all ready, and it doesn't mean that anybody's going to call you. I'm on TV all the time. I'm called back all the time. It still takes me 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times trying to get a hold of that person who's going to be doing the interview. And not only that, personalities keep changing. Program directors change. Anchors change. Interviewers change. All of that changes. So it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Okay. So is this work that you teach them how to do, or is this something that you do for them?
No, I do show them how to do it. Okay. Now, with the radio shows, I invite them to be on the show. I interview them, and that's a lot easier for them because I'm really coming to them, or, of course, they can make themselves known to me. And if it's a subject that is perfect for my shows, then I will interview.
Okay, fantastic.
And so, I do give them 30 minutes instead of 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's what I do. So right. trying to get that whole message in 3 minutes, that's a course in and of itself. Because most of us are very worried, and most the average person, especially when you're passionate about something, you spend a lot of time and a lot. You want to give every detail.
You're telling your story, and you don't have time to tell your story. You have 3 minutes to get the message out, and what is it you want the audience to know?
Okay, fantastic. So can you give me one small example of what that would look like?
Well, one of the segments I do is the 3 worst mistakes to make if you're starting a second career. So I talk about what those 3 mistakes are, and I have props. For example, the cell phone, if they don't want to use technology. I use a timer if they don't want to learn new techniques or skills. And then, you know, I use a bunch of different things to show them. But I give them 3 things. That's all they can remember.
Okay. All right. That's an excellent point. Okay. So you also work, you also have a radio show that's called Regret Free, Living Regret Free. That's interesting, because I think, especially after 50, we do a lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda, and think that that's the end. Like, you know, I should have done this, I could have done that, it's too late, it's too, you know, especially after 50. I think that's kind of like the mark where we decide whatever had to be done would have been.
it does. But it's interesting. I mean, people, I'm going to use examples people know. Colonel Sanders, for example, Grandma Moses, who started painting very late in life. I mean, there are so many people. Look at Dr. Ruth. I mean, so many people that started late and became very knowledgeable. I think Joan Rivers, she passed away at 81. I had a chance to meet her, and she was she always wanted my jacket. She had so much more to do. I mean, she was always inventing. And think about it, she won the Celebrity Apprentice with all these people and all these younger people. She won it. So it's never too late.
I love that. So that's how you live your life with no regret. You keep doing it.
Exactly.
You just don't stop.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Awesome.
So, Dr. Carson, a lot of people live with regret. And to be regret-free, you know, there's a lot of tragedy that comes in our lives that make us feel, you know, how do we get over that? How do you deal with it?
I'm not going to say that it's easy. I've had a lot of tragedy in my life. I lost a husband, I lost a son. I'm a 3-time breast cancer survivor. I've had 16 surgeries. But you can't live in the past. That's the whole point. You have to live in the now. You have to say, this is where I am, this is what's happening. I gave a speech somewhere, and a woman was talking to me about the horrible influence her mother had on her life. It was just, I mean, she really was still feeling this. And I said to her, well, how long has your mother been gone? Thinking she was going to tell me a year, 2 years. She had been gone 30 years, and she was still living her mother's comments. The woman will never be able to live regret-free because she's not dealing with it in a very present manner.
That's difficult to still live in that past and have that. It's like a ball and chain.
It is a ball and chain. You said it very well. It is a ball and chain. And that's what I try to help people with, to deal with all of that and to be able to take advantage of what. And that's, you know, I'm very grateful for my parents, because when I was brought up, I had to deal with everything right then and there. If something happened, I had to address it right then and there. And even though it was tough at the time, it has served me well in my life.
Now, one of the stations that you have, we have four. You have four stations on women over 40. Are there that many topics on women over 50? Women over 50. Are there that many topics to cover? And more or less, what are the things that you cover?
Well, for my radio network, which is SOBRadioNetwork.com, I have hosts that cover fitness, fashion, healing, medicine, holistic medicine. I have a humorist. I have someone who talks about the brain. They're across the board. And women are very interested in all of those things.
Okay, that's awesome. So women over 50, what would be your advice to them?
Go for it.
Don't think retirement.
I mean, people look at me and say, oh my gosh, I'm halfway through my life. Go for it. This is the best time of your life. Your kids are gone. Maybe your spouse is gone. You don't know.
True.
Sometimes you have a partner, sometimes you don't. I mean, I'm having the time of my life. I wish my husband was still here, but that hasn't stopped me. And that's because I had an independent life while I was married. He never stopped me from doing anything. But I must say that there are a lot of women that, I don't know, it's like that thing goes off, ding, ding, it's 50, and I have to stop. No.
Right. No. Well, not anymore. What did they say, that 50 is the new 30?
It is.
50 is the new 30.
It is. So, you know, when I had my modeling school, and I had my modeling agency, the matron model started at 35. high.
Really?
Yes.
That's unusual.
35, and the average size was a size 12.
Wow.
Then, by the time I sold it 20-some years later, the average age for a matron model was 45 to 50, and the average size was 6 to 8.
Wow. Wow. How unhealthy is that?
Well, yeah. I used to take my models to New York I was president of the Modeling Association of America, and I took my models to New York every year at the Waldorf so they could compete and compete for Eileen Ford or Wilhelmina or whatever. And I had models chosen 5'9", 115 pounds, and they still wanted them to lose weight.
Wow.
5'10", 120 pounds, lose weight.
Wow.
Thank goodness now it's a healthier environment with the plus models and so forth. So yes.
Okay, awesome. So Dr. Carlson, I want to thank you. This has been an awesome interview. I am very honored to have you be interviewed by me. This is huge because you have been in much larger stages and much larger programming than this. So I really want to thank you because I'm honored that you have agreed to have an interview with me. And I look forward. I really look forward to, you know, the next steps. And hey, we definitely need to talk. But once this is over, we definitely could talk a little bit more about, you know, what we could probably collaborate in. And definitely, I need some instruction in that media because I have to. I just have to get there. There's so much yet to be done, and my message really does need to be out there because it's an important message.
Can I give my website?
Absolutely.
SpunkyOldBroad.com.
So if they want to get a hold of you, they go to spunkyoldbroad.com.
Right.
Is there a phone number?
There's a phone number there, and they can contact me there or email Gail Carlson, that's a G-A-Y-L-E, 13@gmail.com.
Okay, fantastic. So you still do media, instruction, but you also speak to Spunky SOB, Spunky Old Broad. How to be a Spunky Old Broad. Okay.
Thanks, awesome. Dr. Nilda.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
I want to thank you for being with us on Business Foresight, always creating strategies towards an extraordinary future. Remember, I'm here with you with strategies every Saturday. I'll see you next week.